Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. As I said to you before, I hope it's food. I hope that you can take in these things and begin to put them into practice one at a time. Don't try to do everything. One at a time. Be kind to your neighbor. Look out for the needs of someone who is very ill. Love one another. Those are the basics, but we've got to get them in place and then reach out to others. O God, strength of those who hope in you, graciously hear our pleas. And since without you mortal frailty can do nothing, grant us always the help of your grace, that in following your commandments we may please you by our resolve and our deeds. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. So, with that opening prayer, let's take a look at the reading. Second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 to 11. Brothers and sisters, consider this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. God will bless you, body, mind, spirit. You are being enriched in every way for all generosity, which through us produces a thanksgiving to God. Do you thank God? Do you take time to thank God? Lord, please do this for me. Lord, please help me with that. Please, Lord, don't let this happen. Please this, please that. That's often what we do, and God knows that. But make sure, maybe at the beginning of your day or at the end of your day, thank God for the good things that have come to you that day. Take time. Something made you smile. Something made you laugh. Something gave you real food for thought. Just recall those and thank God for them and ask him what he wants you to do with them. God loves you, you know, right now. He's right here beside you. He loves you. Draw closer to him, please. Psalm 112 tells us, bless the man who fears the Lord. That doesn't mean fear in the sense of shaking and being terribly, terribly nervous. It means give him what is due to him. Blessed the man who loves the Lord, serves the Lord, bows down before the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. It means a reverence. Fear doesn't mean that you're going around trembling. It just means a reverence that you put that person ahead of yourself. And so the psalm says, bless the man who fears the Lord. Bless the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His generosity shall endure forever. Light shines through the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I have. I was walking one day along the street and I came into this neighborhood that I knew. And a woman came out. I was probably, let me just say, first of all, I was probably a bit upset, shall I say, at that moment. about something that happened to me a little earlier. And this lady opened her door, and this was not a wealthy part of the city. And she just said, "Hello, sister. Thank you. Thank you for your program." And I just stopped. And she said, "Would you like to come in and have dinner with us?" And I said, "Well, I don't know that I can come for dinner, but I can come for a few minutes." And we went in, and she just, it was just beautiful. Her children were there, and they had heard me on the radio, so they had at least an inkling of what they were meeting. But it was just, it just struck me that in the midst of her own needs, in the midst of what little she had, she was willing to share, to give. You don't have to put on a banquet. Your kindness, your willingness to share can make all the difference in the world for another. And brothers and sisters, I don't know if you see it, but I see it on almost every street corner I'm on. I see someone begging, or someone blind, or someone in pain of some kind. Can we open our hearts to them and do for them what we can, whatever it might be, to make life bearable? Bless the man who fears the Lord. That means to reverence the Lord. And remember that. Remember that it's reverence. Fear is not what we think of it right here. It's to reverence. So if you reverence, you bow down before the Lord. And you say to the Lord, "Help me today. Help me today in my conversations. Help me with every person I meet that I can bring you some way. Not necessarily by the words I say, not by the words I say, by my manner, my warmth, my willingness, my being included in another's situation." Brothers and sisters, as I've said to you before, let's reach out to our enemies. Reach out to those who persecute us. Reach out to those we don't know. Reach out to everybody. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, and then verses 16 to 18, Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them." Hear that. "Otherwise you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not, in a sense, let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." Brothers and sisters, we're so used to wanting others to see what we've done or succeeded in or what progress we've made for this organization or whatever. We lean, in a sense, on our laurels. That's what we want to do. We want to say, when people say, "Thank you so much for this," you say, "You're very welcome. but let's give God the almighty praise that he deserves. Something like that. Very simple, however you want to phrase it. But brothers and sisters, we need to bring Christianity right here in this country. We need a deeper Christianity now, right now, whether it be on the political level, whether it be on the social level, whether it be in the church, wherever we are. Do we really seek to glorify the Lord? Then we can praise him and acknowledge his great blessings to us. He doesn't miss a trick of us. He doesn't, really doesn't. Self-forgetfulness, says Father Haggerty. Self-forgetfulness in prayer cannot be pursued as a deliberately cultivated attitude. We forget ourselves only as our attention no longer rests on self. This occurrence has one primary requirement and condition. It happens when a deeper quality of love turns us into a pure manner toward God. It is only our interior longing for God that allows us to disappear from the sight of ourselves. A pure longing for God may even make the thought of ourselves cease entirely for a limited time. But this blessed unconcern for ourselves does not happen so easily in prayer. And we should ask Mary, who is the exemplar of selfless love, for her intercession. We are seeking a God who hides himself and his gaze from us. This concealment in turn makes it difficult to hide from self in prayer. Precisely when God seems most hidden, our attention is often thrown back painfully upon ourselves. But this tendency must be treated gently by a calm turning in the direction of our Lord in the tabernacle, that with the conviction that he is always in our company. I do that, brothers and sisters. Different times in the day, I just say, Lord, I know you're here. I know you hear my voice. Please, Lord, help me. Help me to serve you more today. Help me to deal with this problem. I just do that a couple of times a day. It's amazing to me, over time, how things change. Brothers and sisters, let us all of us, let us turn to our Father who is in heaven, and let's say, Father, I want to be a sign of your Son on earth. Father, will you help me? May I be a sign of your presence on earth. It's a hard one, because sometimes we get really angry. Sometimes we should, sometimes not. Or we can be gossiping. We can do all kinds of things. We want our speech at all times to glorify God. That doesn't mean we need to use his name all the time, but glorify our God by our attitude. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.